add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Two on this Monday midday, Mark Melusis with you in for BT and Sal. Sometimes I mentioned this yesterday when I was doing my Sunday morning show right here on the Fan. Like the when the surprise happens, it makes it a little bit more enjoyable. I think the Mets are a perfect case in point. A team that was left for dead, that was sitting there 11 games under the 500 mark, close out the regular season, close out the first half here at 49-46. I know a tough loss yesterday, and you'd love to see J.D. Martinez be the hero late to tie that one up. I know you give up, the Quintana giving up four home runs and, the home run barrage by the Colorado Rockies, the opportunity to sweep and go five games over the 500 mark heading into the All-Star break. That is an opportunity missed. But think about where the Mets team was and where they are now, where you were as a fan of the Mets and in your enjoyment of watching the Mets and where you are right now. It's a polar opposite. And it's a credit to each and every one of these players on this team. I mean, whether it be, the impact of J.D. Martinez, whether it be the impact of Iglesias, the leadership that those two men have shown on this team. You haven't even gotten a great year. Starlin Marte still dealing with that bone bruise. Not a great year from Pete Alonso. Obviously not a great year from Jeff McNeil. Nimmo has stepped up and been really good. I know Francisco Lindor, since he got moved up to the leadoff spot, has been ridiculously good offensively as well. Uptick with Francisco Alvarez behind home plate. And obviously, Mark Vientos over at third base. The pitching, even without Kodai Senga, who continues to rehab and, threw 60-plus pitches in his last rehab start up at AAA in Syracuse. And you're going to get him back at some point early on here in the second half of the regular season. And we all know how good Kodai Senga was last year. And he's the ace and the best starting pitcher that this team does have on the major league level. And as we discussed, like, the difference between when you look at both fan bases, like, the Yankee fan base expects right now the other shoe to fall. The Yankee fan base expects failure to happen. The Yankee fan base looks at that game yesterday down in Baltimore as a predictor of things to come. The Met fan right now is taking everything in stride and just enjoying the moment. And now the question comes into play of just how aggressive is Steve Cohen and David Stearns going to be come the MLB trade deadline? And what are they going to do to try and reinforce this team? First and foremost, there should not be even a question about whether or not they do something. They will. The question is to what level and what significance? Well, the town idiot can figure out that this team needs bullpen help. We've seen it time and time again. They don't have enough quality arms in that bullpen. Budo's did a nice job since he got called up, filling in for a role in since July the 3rd. But still, this team needs to address the bullpen and needs to do it relatively quickly because there is no choice. The team has led you and shown you the way. This is completely different from a year ago when realistically looking at the team, when they paired off guys left and right, and ate a ton of salary to make it a little bit more appealing and appetizing for the trade to happen and to get a better asset coming back. And that's where the significance of the wealth of Steve Cohen comes into play. Last year would have been adding, it would have been fool's gold. This year is a completely different scenario. So whether it be the players only meeting, whether it be the J.D. Martinez home run against the Marlins, whether it be Jorge Lopez throwing his glove into the stands, whether it be Grimes throwing out the first pitch, whether it be OMG Candelita and Jose Iglesias and the great unifier that has been for this team, the play on the field or the fact that this team has produced offensively. The vibe around the Mets is unquestionably great. There's no doubt about it. They're a highly watchable team. They're a fun watch. It's enjoyable. The Met fan is leaning into it. They've overcome the bullpen issues. The bullpen needs to be strengthened. And you're seeing a team right now playing their best baseball going into the All-Star break, despite the loss yesterday against Colorado, who are going to get their best pitcher back in short order post All-Star break in Kodai Senga. And you have an owner in Steve Cohen that understands the importance of winning. And then you get into the postseason and you never know. Right? You never know. And it felt like this was a dream 6-7 weeks ago when watching this Met team. It felt like there was no way. The concern was whether or not you were going to trade away Pete Alonso and then hopefully try and sign him back as a free agent after you part ways. Who was going to go? Manaea and, you know, Luis Severino. All the things and the conversations that were being had at that point in time. Well, those conversations are long gone because the players on the field have dictated the conversation about the team. And that's what you want to see in sports. The Mets have done an amazing job, each and every one of those players, of rallying the troops, holding each other accountable, and give Mendoza a ton of credit for the culture shift that he has had within this organization as well in relatively short order. Listen, a year ago, it was not all of Buck Showalter's fault. It wasn't a question of whether or not he knows baseball. He does. And Buck's a good man. It ended poorly. They should have handled his dismissal a lot better than it did. But there were a myriad of issues for the Mets. But when Stearns got hired, he brought in a guy in Mendoza, well-traveled baseball vet, sitting there as a bench coach for the New York Yankees, who obviously, if you've paid attention and looked at his coaching style, was a guy that held players accountable, but understood the importance of relationships and communication with his players. And it is unquestionably the impact that he has had on this team is vast. And the players got to go out there and perform for sure. And I get that. And it's not just all Mendoza's credit. It's a lot about the players, which I've ran through before. But for Cohen and Stearns now, the emotion is going to be there to try and do whatever you can to strengthen this team, right? Because you never know, especially in today's day and age of Major League Baseball, you never know. You want to get to the postseason. If things break right, you get hot, you go on an unbelievable run. This was supposed to be a wait-and-see year. Approach it as that. See exactly what happens. Take the temperature. Build from there. That was the messaging from David Stearns, from his introductory presser down in Port St. Lucie. Now the Mets, just like the Yankees, but completely different scenarios. The Mets have got no other choice with the way that this team has played, the quality of baseball that they have played, the lineup that is produced, the veterans along with the youngsters. This team deserves to be strengthened. And as we know, the biggest issue that this team does have is their bullpen. But the vibe around the Mets going into this All-Star break, tremendous. 1110, Malusis with you. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Lynchburg, Virginia. It's Chris. It's the fan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Moose. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. I was just home in New York with the family this weekend, so I just flew back, and I saw the Mets on Friday and Sunday. And, everything you said so far, I could completely agree with. The offense has been great, but that bullpen's just dreadful.
Oh,
I couldn't believe I stepped away for 1 minute, 7-6. When I left, it's like 7-3, and it's 7-6. I'm like, what is going on? So, yes, I agree. Bullpen, they got to fix. And then I was just wondering, I just wanted your opinion on something. I know they're talking about Kodai Senga coming back, so there might be a little bit of a surplus of the pitching. So I just was curious to see if the Mets were going to move a starter, who do you think would be the odd man out? Because I think they should keep Manaea and Severino, and I think Katana might be the odd man out, in my opinion. What do you think?
You think who might be the odd man out? You dropped off there.
Jose Quintana.
Oh, Quintana. Yeah. Well, Quintana's coming off a terrible performance yesterday.
I saw it yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, and you were at the game. Based just solely on performance, yeah, I'd probably agree with that. But I think we got to be a little bit careful here where when Kodai Senga does return, coming off the injury that he returns from and how he necessarily is used when he returns. So, you know, the Mets, right, with some off days might play around a little bit with that starting rotation and give him a little bit of extra rest as well. So that could that could be a factor in the second half of the season.
Right.
But I would agree with you in terms of Manaea and Severino have been a little bit better than Quintana. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and then a last point I just want to make, too. I think like I said, I think obviously Mets prioritize the bullpen, like that Bruce Bean, not like a broken record. But I also do think, if possible, they should probably try to get maybe another bat without obviously giving up any of the big prospects. I do think, because DJ Stewart's been dreadful, Tyrone Taylor's hit or miss, so I just think they just need maybe one more bat. I'm obviously not sure where you can put them, but I just think somehow, some way, they got to get another bat.
Well, I mean, you're going to get, unless you move them, you're going to get Marte back. You know, he's dealing with a bone bruise in his knee, right? When he suffered that injury, I think the assessment was that he was going to be out 3 to 4 weeks, right? And that was right before the Yankees-Mets series out at Citi Field. So you're going to get Marte back, and you're going to plug him back into right field. Yeah, could they use a veteran bat off the bench? Yeah, or a guy that could be a plug-and-play guy, for sure. But I don't think that's the primary need. You know, the starting rotation isn't going to become a need because of the return of Kodai Senga in the second half. The biggest need of all is, I think this lineup has shown you to be gritty and gutty enough. You know, you've got the power in Alonso. You've got the impact of J.D. Martinez. Yeah. Iglesias has played himself into a bigger role with this team. Francisco Lindor, since he got moved up in the lineup, has been really, really good. Throw in the two youngsters, Francisco Alvarez, and then you throw in the power of Mark Vientos and give him a ton of credit after he was, you know, yo-yoed around by Billy Epler for the past couple years.
Yeah.
And all the talk was about Brett Beatty. Vientos has taken advantage of the opportunity. Really, the thing that they need to do is, I think the focus needs to go get relief pitching, and not necessarily just relief pitching that you have for the next, you know, 60 plus games. It could be relief pitching where you have control of that pitcher for the next, you know, year plus, you know, 2+ years. I mean, something like that. And if you do, and he's a dominant reliever, then what you're going to give up is obviously a little bit more.
For sure. But like I said, I'm just glad the Mets quote unquote sucked me back in, like Evan Roberts like to say. But it should be a fun second half.
But that's what we are as fans. I mean, Chris, you know what? They have, but it's enjoyable, and you'll take it. I mean, I think everybody will look at it and say, yeah, well, you were looking at it. I mean, how many times did Gary Cohen on SNY talk about it being rock bottom for the Mets, you know, in the first 30, 40 games of the MLB regular season? Nobody in the ballpark, you know, getting one hit, no hit. I mean, all these things that we saw in the first, you know, the first, you know, month and a half, 2 months of this MLB regular season. It looked lifeless. Conversations about Alonso and his future, what was going to happen with Polar Bear, all the things that were kind of running around. You know, the criticism of Stearns, people not actually thrilled early on with Mendoza, the quality of play. Team looked lifeless, looked dead. Let's be honest. I mean, Lopez throwing his glove into the crowd, and then the players-only meeting, and then the Martinez home run basically turned this entire season around. And then the Met fans celebrating Grimace, which is fun. I mean, that video that I saw on YouTube, not YouTube, on X, during the rain delay of Mets-Yankees, right by the Shea Bridge at Citi Field, of somebody dressed as Grimace shotgunning a beer as it's pouring outside is amazing. That's what you want. So it's good to be sucked back in. It's good as a fan to be able to enjoy it, lean into it. That's what sports is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to be a great watch. It takes you away from the distraction, from life at times. Jamaica, Queens we go. It's Philip. It's the fan. What's going on, Philip?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope all is well. And I want to talk about the Mets. I'm a diehard Mets fan, and they're doing great. But as everyone says, the Achilles heel is the bullpen. And I don't think the Mets should just stay pat. Take advantage of this. And I don't want to hear prospects. They're prospects. So you give up the kitchen sink, in my opinion, and you go after the best relief pitcher that you have control. I'm talking about pitchers like Mason Miller.
Yeah, from Oakland.
And it doesn't matter, in my opinion, how much you have to give up with young prospects. Take advantage of this, because it would improve the bullpen and it would improve your future if you get a pitcher like Mason Miller. So I don't understand why people say, well, the Mets are giving up too much. You give up what you need to give up to improve the chances now. And everyone knows the Mets bullpen is the weakness, so get what you can.
Well, I think, Philip, I think the bullpen will be addressed. I think the Mets, come the MLB trade deadline or even before, will be aggressive to the level with a minor league system now that is has got more now than it had in the last 2 or 3 years. The question is, how heavy of a price do you want to pay? But make no bones about it. Cohen understands the importance of winning. It's amazing when this team was struggling and the detractors came out with Steve Cohen and concern about his ownership of the New York Mets, where, I mean, for years, when the Mets were never in the conversation. I mean, the Mets were under Fredwin, Jeff Wilpon, Saul Katz. I mean, it was a question of where their payroll was. Met fans used to call up and tag, Fred Wilpon as Freddie Coupon. The conversations when Omar Minaya would join Mike and Chris and where the payroll was going to be that given year. Omar, you're going to be at $140 million this year? Where are you going to be at? Why are the Mets not handled as a major market team? Like all these things that we got at that time. Cohen's not going to hit on every single free agent. But here's where you need to kind of have the warm blanket on a cold winter's night is this. He's going to be in the conversation. And money always plays. And he understands the importance of winning. And if you see from what he has said on social media, the rare interview that he does say on CNBC, he understands. And he's going to lean into this year. No, don't necessarily like when he said when the Mets were over in London that, there have been worse times to be a Met fan, for sure. Well, that team was struggling at that time and it looked like all hope was lost. Well, we're a long way away from that. And if you don't think Steve Cohen understands that and understands the importance of building a winning culture, because we can talk about culture and the shift of Mendoza all you want and building good chemistry and team chemistry and everybody working in unison and pushing in the same direction. Well, we're in a win-oriented business. And winning is important. Frank at White Plains is up next in the fan. What's going on, Frank?
Moose, I'm so happy to talk to you. A long time, man.
Frank, it's been forever, man. It's been forever.
How are you, Moose?
I'm doing well, Frank. Doing really well. Thanks for asking. Glad to hear your voice again.
Yeah. Listen, Moose, you know something about the Mets?
Yes.
Mets, they have to pick up a good bullpen. No patches. Like, look at this guy they got from Rays. He gives the other night 2-run home run. He almost blew the game. They almost lose the game. And also, Moose, they need, really, really, they need to get one starting pitcher. Because if you go in playoffs, which I hope they do, but I don't know about that. But if they go into playoffs and they're playing like 3 games, wild card or whatever they play, what's going to happen with Quintana? Like, he's really, they don't have a pitcher to say, yes, this guy is going to do it. You know what I mean? And they have to pick up starting pitcher too.
Well, wouldn't you think it would be Kodai Senga if he returns and he's healthy? He's the best Mets starting pitcher?
But it's maybe.
No, I'm going on the idea, but until you get to the playoffs, we got to start the second half. I'm talking, you're going to get him back into the starting rotation. Just made another rehab start. I haven't seen anything to the negative where he came out of that rehab start poorly. Mendoza talked about it yesterday. He threw 60-plus pitches. I think he went 4 2/3 innings of work, right? So we know how good and effective he was a year ago. Isn't that starting rotation going to get a major injection with Kodai Senga?
Yes, I agree with you. But what happened is, the baseball game better than anybody in the sports. I'm very proud of you. I talk to you all the time way back. And I miss you on a radio station where you used to be all the time,
Well, I miss you, Frank. Frank, you're going to make me cry. I miss you too, Frank. I love you.
Here's the thing, Moose. What happened is they could get a good pitcher, which could lead him next year into the next year season. They could, you know what I'm saying?
No, I get. If there's that opportunity, Frank, listen, I have no doubt, based on his history in Milwaukee, and now having the vast wealth that he has now to play with, an aggressive owner in Steve Cohen, that David Stearns is going to exhaust all options. He wanted this year to be a wait-and-see approach on the season. Well, he waited, and it looked like it was going to be a long wait. And as we all see, this Met team has played themselves into being a playoff contender in the National League. And because they have done that, I think they'll act on it. And they will add to this team.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Like a
should I be feeling bad? Should I be feeling good? Call now. Be the, what caller you want, Hop? What caller you want?
I like low numbers.
I like cats a lot. We'll go caller 4. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 for your last chance to win a pair of tickets to see Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit, PNC Bank Arts Center, Tuesday, July 30th. From our friends at Live Nation, to purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com. Listen again tomorrow at the same time for another chance to win.
Moose, did you do it off of a nookie, my friend?
Yes. I didn't even know Durst changed his whole, like, you know, I asked Pete during the break, I go, is Wes Borland back as his guitarist? Because they had a riff, they broke up long time ago. I mean, Limp Bizkit at one point in time was like one of the biggest acts in the country. But
yeah, they were top of TRL, they were on top of the world.
Yes, Total Request Live, yeah. I remember watching like a New Year's Eve where Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit was there, yeah. So, but you said Durst now has changed his whole look,
he's
right?
Like Grandpa Fred Durst. That's like his thing. He gets up there, he's all, like, first of all, the baggy clothes I think is the same, but he's all decked in white, his hair is white, his beard is white. Even though he doesn't have hair, it's like a fake wig, but that's his style now, Grandpa Durst.
So he looks like Jesus.
Not as like long, but yeah, he looks more like, I would say more
like a trimmed down Santa.
That's more like it. Yes.
Okay. So now his look on stage is like a trimmed down Santa Claus.
Exactly.
And he's singing like the Nookie song.
I'm still doing it for the Nookie. Yeah.
Still, and it's the same vibe, same feel. Really.
Something like that. I don't know. The later music turned a tad bit, but yeah, they're still doing that. They're still rocking out.
Listen, Limp is great. Limp Bizkit is great. They really are. Good luck to one and all. Pete, what'd we say? What caller did we say? Four?
Four, yes.
There you go.
Do you want to go?
I'd love to go.
July 30th. Let's go.
I'd love to go. PNC Bank Arts Center, great spot to watch. Great venue to watch an act. Let's head out to Waterbury, Connecticut. It's Ray. It's the fan. What's going on, Ray?
Hi, Mark. Great show as usual.
Thanks a lot,
monologue on both New York teams. On the Mets, Mark.
Yeah.
I want another bat for the outfield. I know Marte's coming back, but they say it's not his knee's not healing that quickly. So it's
gonna be a while. Bone bruise.
I want a left-handed bat and get Stewart back to the minors. Get him out of here. And I also want the two pitchers out of here out of the bullpen, Hauser and Diekman. Those the two relievers that they'll be getting in, got to replace them. And I really believe, Mark, they're going to get a solid reliever that can close, a reliever from another team that's been a closer. So this way here, they could flip-flop them with Diaz when need be.
Yeah, I mean, Ray, I think you can bring in a closer from another team that can be the setup man. I think you only have one closer. Your closer is Edwin Diaz. You're not
right,
flip-flopping. You're not flip-flopping. And the Yankees at one point in time went that route. Remember how stacked that bullpen was? They had, you know, one premier reliever after another, a lot of power arms, former closers. Like, you can go down that route. And that was a good time to be a Yankee fan, right? It really was. And that was not all that long ago. And their bullpen was rock solid. You had the utmost confidence. And whether it be injuries or age, those guys started to deteriorate away. The Mets closer is Edwin Diaz. I mean, end of sentence. That's it. So you bring in a closer from another team, you're not going to be flip-flopping. You're just adding to the back end of the bullpen, and he then would be the premier eighth inning man and be the setup role for what your closer is. You're not paying Diaz the amount of money you're paying him for all of a sudden him to take on another role. I don't know how emotionally you would handle it. You might say, well, I don't care. Well, you want to try and get the best out of the pitcher. I don't think he's a product of having loading up the baseball, even in spite of him serving that 10-game suspension. I think he's been working his way back after suffering that knee injury in the WBC. I saw Edwin Diaz rewrite the narrative of him as a player here in this city, which is very, very difficult to do, and become the dominant closer 2 years ago. 3 years ago, right? 2022. He was the best reliever in Major League Baseball, right? And got rewarded with a contract after that season. Like, he will be that again for the Mets.
Right, Mark. But, you know, a guy that could come in here when Diaz has pitched 2 days in a row, somebody that you can trust that close out that day.
See what you're saying. I thought you were talking about kind of flip-flopping, you know, depending on opponent or whatever. I see if Diaz is not available, Ray, it'd be great to have another power arm that could step into that place and be just as effective. Mail pack we go. It's Greg. It's the fan. What's going on, Greg?
Moose. How's it going?
Greg, I'm doing well. How are you?
Not bad, man. Not bad. It's good to hear you. Good to talk to you.
Pleasure's all mine, Greg.
Thank you. Listen, you know, the Mets, there was a documentary about 5 days in Flushing about the 2015 Mets and needing a big bat at the trading deadline. Well, the mentality this year is the same exact thing, except you need a big arm in the bullpen. And, you know, none of these fringe guys, none of these guys you're picking up off waivers. You got to go out there. Oakland. One of your previous callers brought up the name Mason Miller in Oakland.
Yeah,
they're 37-61. Moose.
Yeah.
The only thing he's closing out there is a door. I mean, they don't win. They don't win. This kid. Have you seen? I know you've seen this kid.
Yeah, he's Moose. Great.
He's brilliant, Moose. He's brilliant. And the Mets are going to have to overpay. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But to bring in just, you know, somebody who's, that ain't going to do it, Moose. They got to go out there and get a, and your prior caller was right. You know, when the Mets are winning 4 or 5 in a row, let's face it, Diaz isn't going to pitch 4 or 5 days in a row. So you need another stud in that bullpen. You need it.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be interested in Mason Miller. And you're going to have to pay a hefty price. And, you know, yes, there's no doubt. But would he be worth it? Yeah. I mean, he would be. He's got 70 strikeouts this year in 39 2/3 innings of work. Let me repeat that. I mean, he's got 70 Ks out of the bullpen in 39 2/3 innings of work. His whip is under 1. There's nothing not to like about Mason Miller. Obviously, size, velocity that he throws at, there's a ton to like. But there are going to be a lot of teams that would be interested in Mason Miller.
Yeah, but the Mets have a lot of shekels and a lot of prospects / suspects. We got to do this properly. I mean, Moose, nobody saw this coming. Let's be honest about this. I mean, this team is gelled. I was making jokes about this team, calling them F Troop, you know, earlier in the season. And this thing is gelled into, you know, this team can make some noise, Moose.
I don't disagree with you. The chemistry matters. Guys pushing in the same direction. Let's not make it out to be the Mets are untalented. That's not true. There is skill and ability on the team. Lindor is a good player. Nimmo is a good player. Pete Alonso is a good player. J.D. Martinez obviously has shown himself to be a really productive designated hitter. Good player. Leadership. Guys that have surprised you. Alvarez is an unbelievable, he hasn't surprised you, but is an unbelievable young catcher that is going to be around as long as he stays healthy for years to come. And it's going to be one of those guys that define this Met organization for the next decade. Vientos is taking advantage of an opportunity this year. This team is not untalented. Now, the way that they were playing to begin the year, you could say to yourself, well, they were never going to play that poorly for that long. They were good enough to not be that. And that's true. Now the question is, just how special of a group is this? And I think that I brought up last year during the 11 o'clock opening kind of monologue about the Mets. I brought up last year as an example. See, last year was a case, and I know there were Met fans upset with the way that the trades went down at the time, that they were sacrificing. No, I think it was just being realistic. It was the eyeball test. Is looking at the team and saying, it's not happening this year. Now the eyeball test looking at this team and saying, well, is this sustainable, what they're doing now? And to a large extent, I think it is because of the way that the lineup is producing. Getting Kodai Senga back. But what's not sustainable is the bullpen. And that needs to be addressed in short order.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
.11:43 on this Monday midday. Get back to your calls here momentarily.
Didn't want to hit it, but yeah, we. You know what movie I was thinking about this morning? I was thinking about the movie Office Space, where they come up to the person at the front desk, or, you know, ever have the case of the Mondays, right? And that's what it felt like today with the Mondays. Let me explain, right? We had a couple trips last week down to Turks and Caicos for like three nights, right? So we had all the grandparents watching the boys. It was my father-in-law day one, my dad day two, and then Donna's mom day three, right? So it was great. We left Monday morning, like we're out the door like 3:15 in the morning. We had like a 6:30 flight, got back. It was fantastic. We got a dog in April. To get to the dog here momentarily, right? So we had the groomer watch the dog for like 5 days. So Chip went on vacation as well. Beautiful little golden doodle, right? Chip, my best friend. Always happy to see me whenever I walk into the house. Not everybody else is, but Chip is. Because he knows treats and snacks are coming, right? So daddy's home. So we have this great trip down to Turks and Caicos. Fantastic bonding, all this stuff, right? It was an amazing trip. Great, beautiful island. You know, great food, great drink. Had an amazing time. Marriage could be difficult. You know how long the honeymoon lasted when you get back from a vacation? And everyone that's married can understand this, right? When you get thrown right back into it, 20 minutes. My wife came back and it lasted about 20 minutes. I was in my wife's good graces. One of the reasons why is we picked up Chip on Friday morning. Now, Chip came back and Chip was not feeling all that well. So Chip has been having diarrhea all over the house for like the last 4 days. Now, mind you, my wife never grew up with dogs. Like, I always had a dog growing up. I had my, a Lhasa Apso named Fifi. And we adopted a dog from the North Shore Animal League. They told us it was a boxer and ended up being a purebred pit bull, Naya. She was beautiful, loved her. Unfortunately, she only sort of lasted 8 years until she unfortunately passed away, but Naya was unbelievable, right? So my kids wanted a dog. So we adopted a dog last April. Now, my wife is dealing with it. Not that she's not mean to the dog. She doesn't hate the dog. It's just an adjustment, right? Having an animal in the house that's running around the house that doesn't exactly smell all that great, that jumps on the couch. And the three boys tell you, I've got 11, 9, and 7-year-old Jackson, Paul, and Gregory. They tell you, like, when you get the dog, that they're going to be there, they're going to be hands-on, they're going to take the dog, take care of the dog, they're going to walk the dog, they're going to feed that dog. You know how long that lasts? That lasts about 2 days. 2 days. So think about this. I wake up this morning, worked last night at WPIX, got home at about 12:30. Wake up this morning at about 6:15. Chip is in his cage, and Chip had just all over the place at about throughout the course of the night. And I feel bad. It's terrible. Like, I feel terrible for Chip. But my wife woke up this morning with the smell of that engulfing the house. And she's like, you wanted the dog. So you want to think about the having a case of the Mondays. I'm getting set to come in here, do a nice midday show, having fun, seeing Doe for the first time, who's returned to WFAN for the last, who's been out for the last 3 months, seeing my guy Hoff across the way, seeing Chris and Ryan, everybody here at WFAN. Can't wait, can't look forward to it. Get out of the house, get out of the scenario, Chip not feeling well. At 6:30 this morning, if you think about how you woke up, think about this. I woke up at 6:30 this morning cleaning up mounds of diarrhea. Now, that's a Monday. That's a Monday. Yelling at my kids to please take the dog out before he goes to the bathroom in the house again. pleading with them as they're watching Cars 3. That's my Monday.
How much do you think will be on the floor when you get home?
Tons. Tons. I don't know what bug Chip came home with, but it has been 4 or 5 days here of just... It started right away. Saturday morning, I was up at 5:30 in the morning. Chip was clawing at his crate to try and get out of the house. Ran outside the house, immediately went to the bathroom. Gave him rice and chicken, seemed to clean it up a little bit for a day and a half. Mixed in some egg whites and a little bit of kibble, and we're back to square zero.
He had a good run, though.
Right. So if you think about this, couple the Met loss, the Yankee loss on a Sunday, getting home at 12:30, waking up, my kids sitting on the couch, having seen the mess in the cage, do nothing about it, sit there watching Cars 3. I walk over, I see Chip, and it is all over the floor. That's a tough start to the week. Jackson, please. Pause Cars 3. Walk the dog. I'm pleading with you. Just walk the dog. They tell you they will. And this is for every parent out there that's got young kids. Tell you they want a dog. And listen, I love Chip. Chip is amazing. Now, over under whether or not Chip survives the summer if we find him a new home. If you are a betting man, I'd say it's probably 2-1. Right now, the lean is we find him a new home. But I love the dog. Unfortunately, the dog is not feeling all that well. I don't hold him accountable. I'm just asking my kids. And for everyone out there, if you've got young kids and they tell you they're going to help you take care of the dog, they don't. They will for 2 days. My wife today, scorched earth. It was a good start. Nice start to the day. Let's head out to Milford. It's Lee. It's the fan. What's going on, Leah?
Hi, I was calling about poor Chip. I feel for your wife and your family waking up to mountains of diarrhea there.
Oh, it was a tough morning, Leah. I'll tell you that. It really was. It's a tough Monday. It's hot outside. Yeah. You got to make sure the sweat factor is a 10. Immediately walk outside. Yeah, you wake up and the smell of that perfuming throughout the course of the house. Yeah. It's a tough start to the work week. Yes, no doubt about it.
It sure is. I hope you or your wife are able to call your vet, maybe get Chip's belly straightened out.
Leah, Chip's vet was on speed dial all weekend long. I've spoken with them multiple times over the course of the weekend.
Oh God.
Yes.
That's rough.
Nolan over at Bull's Head Vet Hospital in beautiful Stamford, Connecticut. Tremendous vet, great, love him, fantastic. Oh, yeah. Called me right back, said, you know, ground beef, rice, chicken, anything bland. I feel bad for Chip. It's terrible. Now, you know, he's just having explosive diarrhea. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. I will tell you, something that worked for my friend's dog was this. It's like a GI kit. It's like probiotics and like some kaolin mixed in. It's called ProViable. You can get it online as a little GI kit.
Leah, that's great. Where I can get online? Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Leah.
No problem.
You got it. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, Chip's great. He'll be okay. He's just dealing with maybe he's just a nervous dog. I don't know. Ridgefield, Connecticut, we go. It's Frank. It's the fan. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, Moose. Let me just get on speaker real quick because Hoff said I was cutting in and out.
You got it.
I mean, not speaker, I should say. You won't believe this. I was going to call you about the Yankees, but then I just was on the phone and I tuned in when you were talking about Chip.
Yes.
Which when I was a kid, that was my nickname, believe it or not, a chip off the old block.
There you go. I love it.
Dog is.
Yep. My wife hates the dog's name, by the way, too.
But I did some radio for a while, DJing mainly up in Hartford and Massachusetts, and one of the bosses there wanted me to go by my real name, Frank. So that's how it ended up, Frank.
All right.
But that is my real name. Anyway, I'm not sure what kind of dog Chip is. I didn't hear that.
Golden Doodle. Mini Golden Doodle. Not exactly
that's what
mini.
I got. Can you believe it?
There you go.
I just got a week ago, he's black. What color is yours?
He's like an auburn.
Okay, yeah, they come in many colors. I had two full-size Labradoodles, the last of which I lost about a year and a half. I wasn't even planning on another one, but this just fell into place. Anyway, this morning he started, and the stools have been a little loose. And there must have been five or six spots. The minute you turn around when you're doing something, he goes, and he doesn't go on the mat that I gave him. I mean, I take him out, but a lot of times he'll be out 30 minutes. Doesn't go, and the minute you go in the house, you know, there he goes. But luckily, it's a linoleum kitchen floor, and I don't really have any carpeting, so it's not the end of the world. But I was at Walmart yesterday, and I'm waiting for my Chewy order for the proper chews or whatever, and I bought one of those cheap ones, and it just dawned on me maybe an hour ago that maybe that was it. It had, like, rawhide or something in it, and he's only 3 months old, so I have a feeling that may be contributing to it. So yeah, anything like that, then that might be causing it.
Yeah, Frank, I don't know. I just came back. I feel terrible. I love them. I mean, honestly, like, you know, I love my boys. I love Donna. It's our anniversary right around the corner. Happy anniversary, my love. She was not happy with me this morning. Not happy at all. And I understand. I get it. She didn't grow up with dogs. I did. She's very caring to Chip. She understands that, but nobody wants to wake up to the scene that I saw this morning. What I should have done was taken a picture of it. I felt terrible. Now the kids responded. They promptly walked the dog about 3 miles. But it's going to be a long few days. I said, I think Chip needs to go to the vet. My wife's response is, are you taking them? I go, no, I have work. She goes, that's always your excuse. Love you too. I'll see you later on tonight. Needs to be addressed in short order.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
/11:43 on this Monday midday. Get back to your calls here momentarily.
Didn't want to hit it, but yeah, we... You know what movie I was thinking about this morning? I was thinking about the movie Office Space, where they come up to the person at the front desk, go, you know, ever have the case of the Mondays, right? And that's what it felt like today with the Mondays. Let me explain, right? We had a couple trips last week down to Turks and Caicos for like 3 nights, right? So we had all the grandparents watching the boys. It was my father-in-law day one, my dad day two, and then Donna's mom day three. Right. So it was great. We left Monday morning, like we're out the door like 3:15 in the morning. We had like a 6:30 flight, got back. It was fantastic. We got a dog in April. To get to the dog here momentarily. Right. So we had the groomer watch the dog for like 5 days. So Chip went on vacation as well. Beautiful little golden doodle. Right. Chip, my best friend, always happy to see me whenever I walk into the house. Not everybody else is, but Chip is, because he knows treats and snacks are coming. Right. So daddy's home. So we have this great trip down to Turks and Caicos. Fantastic bonding, all this stuff, right? It was an amazing trip. Great, beautiful island. You know, great food, great drink. Had an amazing time. Marriage could be difficult. You know how long the honeymoon lasted when you get back from a vacation? And everyone that's married can understand this, right? When you get thrown right back into it, 20 minutes. My wife came back and it lasted about 20 minutes. I was in my wife's good graces. One of the reasons why is we picked up Chip on Friday morning. Now, Chip came back, and Chip was not feeling all that well. So Chip has been having diarrhea all over the house for like the last 4 days. Now, mind you, my wife never grew up with dogs. Like, I always had a dog growing up. I had my, Lhasa Apso named Fifi. And we adopted a dog from the North Shore Animal League. They told us it was a boxer and ended up being a purebred pit bull, Naya. She was beautiful, loved her. Unfortunately, she only sort of lasted 8 years until she unfortunately passed away. But Naya was unbelievable, right? So my kids wanted a dog. So we adopted a dog last April. Now, my wife is dealing with it. Not that she's not mean to the dog. She doesn't hate the dog. It's just an adjustment, right? Having an animal in the house that's running around the house that doesn't exactly smell all that great. that jumps on the couch. And the three boys tell you, I've got 11, 9, and 7-year-old Jackson, Paul, and Gregory. They tell you, like, when you adopt, when you get the dog, that they're going to be there. They're going to be hands-on. They're going to take the dog, take care of the dog. They're going to walk the dog. They're going to feed that dog. You know how long that lasts? That lasts about 2 days. 2 days. So think about this. I wake up this morning, worked last night at WPIX, got home at about 12:30. Wake up this morning at about 6:15. Chip is in his cage. And Chip had just all over the place at about throughout the course of the night. And I feel bad. It's terrible. Like, I feel terrible for Chip. But my wife woke up this morning with the smell of that engulfing the house. And she's like, you wanted the dog. So you want to think about the having a case of the Mondays. I'm getting set to come in here, do a nice midday show, having fun, seeing Doe for the first time, who's returned to WFAN for the last, who's been out for the last 3 months. See my guy Hoff across the way. Seeing Chris and Ryan, everybody here at WFAN. Can't wait, can't look forward to it. Get out of the house, get out of the scenario. Chip not feeling well. At 6:30 this morning, if you think about how you woke up, think about this. I woke up at 6:30 this morning cleaning up mounds of diarrhea. Now that's a Monday. That's a Monday. Yelling at my kids to please take the dog out before he goes to the bathroom in the house again. Pleading with them as they're watching Cars 3. That's my Monday.
How much you think will be on the floor when you get home?
Tons. Tons. I don't know what bug Chip came home with, but it has been 4 or 5 days here of just. It started right away. Saturday morning, I was up at 5:30 in the morning. Chip was clawing at his crate to try and get out of the house. Ran outside the house, immediately went to the bathroom. Gave him rice and chicken, seemed to clean it up a little bit for a day and a half. Mixed in some egg whites and a little bit of kibble, and we're back to square zero.
He had a good run, though.
Right. So if you think about this, couple the Met loss, the Yankee loss on a Sunday, getting home at 12:30, waking up, my kids sitting on the couch, having seen the mess in the cage, do nothing about it, sit there watching Cars 3. I walk over, I see Chip, and it is all over the floor. That's a tough start to the week. That's a tough start to the week. Jackson, please. Pause Cars 3. Walk the dog. I'm pleading with you. Just walk the dog. They tell you they will. And this is for every parent out there that's got young kids. Tell you they want a dog. And listen, I love Chip. Chip is amazing. Now, over under whether or not Chip survives the summer if we find him a new home. If you are a betting man, I'd say it's probably 2-1. Right now, the lean is we find him a new home. But I love the dog. Unfortunately, the dog is not feeling all that well. I don't hold him accountable. I'm just asking my kids. And for everyone out there, if you've got young kids and they tell you they're going to help you take care of the dog, they don't. They will for 2 days. My wife today, scorched earth. It was a good start. Nice start to the day. Let's head out to Milford. It's Lee. It's the fan. What's going on, Lee?
Hi. I was calling about poor Chip. I feel for your wife and your family waking up to mountains of diarrhea there.
Oh, it was a tough morning, Leah. I'll tell you that. It really was. It's a tough Monday. It's hot outside. Yeah. You got to make sure the sweat factor is a 10. Immediately walk outside. Yeah, you wake up and the smell of that perfuming throughout the course of the house. Yeah. It's a tough start to the work week. Yes, no doubt about it.
It sure is. I hope you or your wife are able to call your vet, maybe get Chip's belly straightened out.
Leah, Chip's vet was on speed dial all weekend long. I've spoken with them multiple times over the course of the weekend.
Oh,
God.
Yes.
That's rough.
Nolan over at Bull's Head Vet Hospital in beautiful Stamford, Connecticut. Tremendous vet. Great. Love him. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Called me right back. Said, you know, ground beef, rice, chicken, anything bland. I feel bad for Chip. It's terrible. Now, you know, he's just having explosive diarrhea. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. I will tell you something that worked for my friend's dog was this. It's like a GI kit. It's like probiotics and like some kaolin mixed in. It's called ProViable. You can get it online as a little GI kit.
Leah, that's great. Where I can get online? Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Leah.
No problem.
You got it.
Chip.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, Chip's great. He'll be okay. He's just dealing with a... Maybe it's just a nervous dog. I don't know. Ridgefield, Connecticut, we go. It's Frank. It's the fan. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, Moose. Let me just get on speaker real quick because Hoff said I was cutting in and out.
You got it.
I mean, not speaker, I should say. You won't believe this. I was going to call you about the Yankees, but then I just was on the phone and I tuned in when you were talking about Chip.
Yes.
Which as when I was a kid, I was that was my nickname, believe it or not, a chip off the old block.
There you go. I love it.
Dog is.
My wife hates the dog's name, by the way, too.
But I did some radio for a while, DJing, mainly up in Hartford and Massachusetts, and one of the bosses there wanted me to go by my real name, Frank. So that's how it ended up, Frank.
All right.
Yeah, but that is my real name. Anyway, I'm not sure what kind of dog Chip is. I didn't hear that.
Golden Doodle. Mini Golden Doodle. Not exactly mini.
Can you believe it?
There you go.
A week ago, he's black. What color is yours?
He's like an Auburn.
Okay, yeah, they come in many colors. I had two full-size Labradoodles, the last of which I lost about a year and a half. I wasn't even planning on another one, but this just fell into place. Anyway, this morning he started, and the stools have been a little loose. And there must have been five or six spots. The minute you turn around when you're doing something, he goes, and he doesn't go on the mat that I gave him. I mean, I take him out, but a lot of times he'll be out for 30 minutes. Doesn't go, and the minute you go in the house, you know, there he goes. But luckily, it's a linoleum kitchen floor, and I don't really have any carpeting, so it's not the end of the world. But I was at Walmart yesterday, and I'm waiting for my Chewy order for the proper chews or whatever, and I bought one of those cheap ones, and it just dawned on me maybe an hour ago that maybe that was it. It had, like, rawhide or something in it, and he's only 3 months old, so I have a feeling that may be contributing to it. So
yeah,
anything like that, then that might be causing it.
Yeah, Frank, I don't know. I just came back. I feel terrible. I love him. I mean, honestly, like, you know, I love my boys. I love Donna. It's our anniversary right around the corner. Happy anniversary, my love. She was not happy with me this morning. Not happy at all. And I understand. I get it. She didn't grow up with dogs. I did. She's very caring to Chip. She understands that, but nobody wants to wake up to the scene that I saw this morning. What I should have done was taken a picture of it. I felt terrible. Now the kids responded. They promptly walked the dog about 3 miles. But it's going to be a long few days. I said, I think Chip needs to go to the vet. My wife's response is, are you taking him? I go, no, I have work. She goes, that's always your excuse. Love you too. I'll see you later on tonight.